Hey folks, hankering for some high-fisted adventure with warriors in cool robes? Time for a monk campaign.
Stretch out, grab your two-section whip, and let's take a trip to the monastery.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about monk campaigns.
That is correct, sir. Your favorite face-punchiness characters for you tonight. We're going to show you how to take them and make an entire campaign out of just monks.
Yeah.
Or monk-like characters.
Yes. I think it's probably going to take us to several different genres. Obviously, some anime, maybe some Kung Fu Gold, maybe touch on some stuff like The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. A little Neo action going on.
Absolutely.
Any of that kind of stuff. Even some action sequences as well, like some John Wick.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Matt, let's dive in. Why are we talking about monk campaigns?
I know that some people mechanically don't love them, but monks are cool.
Monks are cool.
They allow you to do certain things, and especially in a fantasy game, that maybe slides in from other genres. And to me, that's a lot of fun.
In a fantasy campaign or even a sci-fi campaign, having a martial character, like a martial art character, is a lot of fun because sometimes you just want a character that punches people in the face.
Sure.
That's it. You just want to punch them in the face or kick them in the face.
Yeah.
I'll also...
Elbows, knees.
Headbutt, whatever works, right? And sometimes you want an entire party of characters that punch people in the face.
Yeah.
Thus, the monk campaign.
An all-monk campaign also has lots of story and character options that you can expand from the base concept of them being monks.
They are delightfully tropey.
That is definitely true.
You could be serious about it, but we're talking fantasy here. Why?
Don't have to be talking fantasy here, though.
We could. We could be talking anything, really.
Yeah.
But still, it's fun to be tropey. Monk campaigns start with very strong core concepts, and then you can expand upon that. Let's talk a little bit about expanding that, Matt.
Okay, so your core concept could be the starting location, i.e. the monastery or group, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one. It also has a starting theme, such as a group of seven fighters.
Could even have an overarching storyline as well. So, for example, The Legend of the Five Rings.
And if you're feeling maybe a little more anime, what have you, it's got a lot of concepts that can be built in, things like revenge or just fighting styles and what have you.
I'm just thinking back to Kung Fu Theater, the old school where...
You killed my master.
Yeah, master gets killed and you go on this quest for revenge and self-improvement just so you could beat the hell out of somebody.
Or also your school of Kung Fu versus my school of Kung Fu. There's a lot of options available.
Absolutely. So Matt, what's in a monk campaign? Let's go ahead and put one together for those of you who have never done this before.
Okay. First off, don't just think about monks as a mechanical class.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that a rogue campaign doesn't have to be strictly the class of rogue, a monk campaign isn't necessarily all people who have the monk class.
100%. It could be any class. Now, they could all be called monks. They could all be in a monastery, but you could have a whole bunch of fighters.
Sure.
If you're playing D&D. Or even warlocks. Imagine a warlock monk.
Yeah, actually, that's
an
fairly
eldritch
easy
fist.
To
yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. He smacks somebody. It's One Punch Man. Like, literally, all of his magical energy goes into his fist, and when he smacks somebody, their head explodes.
I was also thinking like Qigong.
Oh, yes.
With the distance strikes and everything.
Yeah, or even some Damak.
Yeah.
All kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, so think of the classes more as a starting point than the actual character class of monk. Although, certainly you can play any of the monk classes in D&D.
For the purposes of this exercise, we're going to be speaking primarily for fantasy games. You should think about how different species are going to embody different types of monk characters. For example, like gnomes versus dwarves versus even trolls.
Yeah, so you've got trolls, which could be grapplers.
Sure.
And face biters.
Yeah, because they're going to want to keep somebody close so that they can continue to chew on them.
Gnomes would probably definitely be death from below the belt.
I was definitely thinking like...
from the waist down your mind, motherfucker.
trippers and like movement based abilities.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like dwarves are going to go for like the Kung Fu Gold Stony Egg style, where they just sit there and take the damage and continue
They'll
to brutalize
their
opponent.
They'll launch themselves like a bullet,
yep.
head first, smashing into their foe's sternum, knocking
Absolutely.
The wind out of them, proceed to just headbutt them to death.
It's a solid option if you've
solid
got the
style,
skull for
man.
It.
Hey, you
got
to go for it, right? Let's talk about the monk class in general. If they're monks, the starting point for a monk is most likely some sort of religious or scholarly organization. Now, this can be an actual monastery that trains and houses the individuals, or it can be something like a library where they take classes, or a guild, or even some sort of just adventuring group.
Sure.
All of these are excellent ways to start like a monastery style campaign.
You could even have like a governmental training program. That could be fun.
You could.
This is also a game where the team dynamic is built in. Perhaps all of the characters are from the same monastery or organization, if that fits your game. It could also contain a place that sends orders or provides the impetus for action or even their base of operations.
DMs, this is a great starting point because it lets you get around the need to like intertwine pesky character background options and stuff like that. They're all in a monastery. They're all in one location. They're starting off knowing each other.
Right.
That doesn't mean from a PC side that you can't have a dark past or even a completely different
familial bonds
sure.
or whatever.
Yeah, you could have any of that stuff, but it does give a nice baseline point to start your game off with. And sometimes that's really good, particularly if it's new players or even experienced players that want to try something different.
Sure.
Because fitting all of those wacky characters together, as you're aware, as many DMs are aware, is tough.
Can very much be. But if you've got a starting point that they're already all entwined into, that makes it much simpler.
And I was thinking one of the things you could do is if they all start in a particular location, and again, doesn't start in a bar, starts in a monastery this time.
That's right.
Then you can backtrack with your character stories later. You can have these fun reveals. Oh, well, before I came to the monastery, I was a wanted man, right? So your thief character might, you know, be on the run.
Sure.
Or maybe your character's a mage. Remember, they don't have to be monks.
Right.
Maybe delve too closely into some sort of sorcery and something happened. Or maybe just has a dark past, right? Maybe your character just has a shadowy past or just decided to join a monastery for some adventure.
Could be like an X-Men type origin story where when a sorcerer's power first manifested, something very bad happened. So they went to some place so that they could train to control it.
That's a totally useful option. Yeah, I like that. In addition to that, monk campaigns also have lots of classic anime options.
Of course it does.
Again, we're talking fantasy here, but even sci-fi works for this. This is D&D. So you get to have flying, fireball casting, shadow stepping, astrally punching, mystical monks. Get crazy with it.
Get ludicrous.
And you know what? You should. Your monk should be able to shape change into a bear and beat the shit out of somebody.
100%. Also, I love the idea of street fightering a wizard.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, he treats all of this as if it's martial prowess.
You know what? That's it. Think of your monks as Street Fighter characters or Mortal Kombat characters. Done.
Yeah.
There you go.
If they can throw magic, it's because they can.
It's because they can. Yeah, it's magic. Are you kidding?
Yoga flame.
Yeah. Why are you worried about a monk being able to punch with a fireball when you literally have this dude in a robe flying and throwing meteor swarm?
Right.
Like, and meanwhile, his buddy is turning into a bear and biting off somebody's face.
Sure.
That's how it works, man.
All monks contain some sort of mysticism anyway.
Yes, they're divine. They're monks.
Right.
Because being a monk, you got to have some sort of belief system, right?
Sure. Now, I mean, unless you're running this as like a strictly secular, pseudo-militaristic thing, generally speaking, like 99.9% of monks are going to have some form of philosophy, mysticism, what have you.
So this could be, as you mentioned, some sort of divine belief. And that could be the gods of your world. Could also be magic. They could just be like some kind of magical mysticism, maybe even just the power of magic.
Yeah. They practice manipulating ki throughout the world, right? The whole life essence that surrounds everything.
Mm-hmm. And then you've written down here, just plain dogma. What do you mean by that?
So that would be more in line with the whole governmental sort of option. They are being trained in a dogma, right? We are here to protect the king. We are here as agents and bodyguards, and this is what we do. This is who we are. And kind of like the paladin has an oath, your monks get all of your funky wuju through their devotion to whatever that dogma is.
So DMs figure out what belief system your monastery has when you're starting this out. And it doesn't have to just be the one that your player characters are playing. You could have established orders in your game world. And we'll get to more of that when we're talking about like building your world out too.
You could also have deep, dark secrets within the monastery.
And you should.
Yes.
We like deep, dark secrets. Yeah. All monk campaigns have lots of dramatic tension. And this tension can be group tension. This tension can be emotional tension. It can also be straight up fighting tension.
Yeah.
Because nothing's more tense than a battle.
You don't understand fighting tension until you've seen a 6-episode anime fight.
I completely agree. Yes. I don't recommend 5 game sessions of grunting Dragon Ball Z.
Straight combat, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We've had game-long battles, though.
Sure.
Now, when we get to character development, there are some ways that you can really make the combat fun.
Combat is something I really wanted to touch on anyway. Combat, the style and flavor is inherently important to characters like this.
Yes. And give me an example of that for the people listening on playing the home game here.
Okay. You roll a critical hit and your DM says, congratulations, you punch him. What's your damage? Or your DM says, you parkour run along the wall, come up and axe kick directly on the crown of his head, snapping his head forward. What's your damage? That's a critical hit. It deserves a little more cinematography. But even just in normal combat, one extra sentence, 3-4 extra words can make the difference between combat being mechanical and part of the story. And for monk-style characters, making it part of the story is even more important than in a regular game where it's still important.
I agree. You got to add some style. You got to add some interest into this game. Speaking of things we find interesting, we're talking about what, Matt?
It's time for the question of the week.
Okay, hit me. Don't actually hit me, but hit me with the question.
This is not the episode to say that.
That's a good point.
If you could play a campaign.
Any campaign.
In any anime world. What would it be?
If I could play a campaign in any anime world. If I could go there or play there. Or both.
One of each.
One of each?
Yeah.
Both of them would probably be fairy tale. Because okay. If I could go there physically, I would that would be awesome. Could learn all kinds of cool magic. And it's basically monk magic anyway, if you've ever seen the cartoon.
Sure.
Because they're just beating the shit out of each other.
Wizards.
Yeah. These wizards are like brawling the whole time. This is what I think of when I think of a monk campaign, by the way. I think of Fairy Tale and Natsu Dragon Neil smashing the shit out of people with a fire fist.
Right. And that's fair. Actually, Fairy Tale, I feel like, is a great example of what we're talking about here, of any class being a monk.
Black Clover would also qualify for that. You know, any of those type of animes would be perfect.
I think to play a game in, I would probably go with Black Clover. To actually visit, ooh, yikes. I don't like Black Clover for that because, like, you kind of get what you get.
Yeah.
I'm not good with that. I want to have some sort of making it on my own merit action.
You live in some One Piece, get eat some crazy fruits, get some crazy powers.
One Piece might be a good one, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a solid choice.
Because it's got pirates.
Yeah.
Fighting pirates.
And cooks are respected there.
That's a very good point.
And as a cook and a bartender, I feel like I could really do well in that world.
What anime would you want to play in a particular game or visit? Hit us up at Goblins Corner on all of the socials. And of course, what can you do, Matt?
You can always comment down below. That's what the space is there for.
That's right.
Right down there.
So we're talking about monk campaigns and how to run a monk campaign. And we've given you a little bit of a preview as to what is in a particular monk campaign. Now let's talk a little bit about how to run one in terms of storytelling and narrative development.
First, obviously, you have to decide what system you're playing in.
Yeah. Pathfinder, D&D, Shadowrun, whatever it is. Shadowrun monks, by the way. That's the way to go. Some Street Samurai.
That could be a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. Well, you remember my character Homegrown, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing but BioWare.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool character.
The Way of Genetics.
He was badass. I loved it. How do monks fit into the particular game style and game world that you're playing? If they aren't common or are common, that's right. Another thing to consider.
And if they don't currently exist in the game you're playing, how are you going to include them and what sort of spin are you going to put on them? Because like your example for Shadowrun, right? You could easily be someone who has a bunch of BioWare that literally runs a very stringent kung fu studio.
Sure.
And you're just martial adepts.
Yeah, or you could be awakened.
Sure. You could be literally martial adepts like at that point. Yeah,
physical adepts. That'd be kind of fun. Theme in your game is especially important. Now, theme's important in any campaign that you're running. But when you're running like a type of like kung fu monk style game, it's really important. So there's a lot of different common themes that you can use. You can use common themes or crazy themes, right?
Sure.
Let's go for the common ones first. Learning lessons. So maybe some sort of training type game where they improve over time and they just get better and better and maybe they fight. So it's like, what is it? The shonen anime type thing.
Sure.
They improve themselves constantly. I have to train. I have to keep training. And then they meet something they can't beat. And then they get really sad for a couple episodes. And then they train. And then they smack the crap out of the person.
Sure.
And then they meet something else that's harder. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But you also have traveling as a major theme. And that could be like Kung Fu, where literally he's just traveling around.
Like Kane from Kung Fu? Yeah. Like the old TV show? Sure.
But also in Shonen, right? You have to go from place to place to get to the next challenges.
Yep. We're talking about monks, and monks have specific beliefs, so you could throw in some delightful moral quandaries. What happens when you may have to break a vow?
You also have to think about the dedication of both physically doing all of the work it takes to be a monk, but also the dedication to whatever the morals, values, and vows that may be involved in that organization.
Here are a couple more off-the-wall themes that I think are a lot of fun. First off, a good old revenge theme story is a delight.
Sure.
We've already talked about it.
Yep. You killed my master. You stole the ancient sword, right? Like,
my name is Inigo Montoya.
Sure.
You've killed my father. Prepare to die.
Now, in fairness, he's a vengeance paladin, but...
You know what? I agree with that as well. Competition is a really fun theme as well. This could be some kind of just crazy Street Fighter-style Mortal Kombat game.
It could be. Or it could be Shaolin Soccer.
Yes. Bring Shaolin Soccer. What a great movie. Hey, these are holy wars. You could have a holy quest, Matt.
Absolutely. Now, you could also have them engaged in espionage.
Maybe at the same time.
Yeah. These are visitors from a foreign land. Maybe they're going to be given access to different places so that they can meet different people. And mm-hmm. The whole time, they're just soaking it all in.
And then I love the last one you wrote down. Mercenaries are also a valid theme for this because they don't have to be good.
Right.
You could have an evil campaign or even just like a neutral campaign.
They're mercenaries because they need to rebuild the monastery.
There you go.
Right? They're just trying to make money.
To get cash money.
Yeah.
Rebuild everything back. Maybe it was burned down. Maybe that's how the game started.
Sure.
That'd be kind of fun. Or maybe they just want to get fat loot.
We've talked about starting a game by the bar burning down. You could start the game with the monastery burning down.
Mm-hmm. Is your campaign mission or sandbox? And then is it an episodic game or is it an overarching story? Those are two very important questions to think about. A mission-based, episodic-style monk campaign can have basically a monster of the week, right? Or
sure.
Mission of the week, and that's a lot of fun. An overarching story might be better for character development and progression and leveling.
Yeah, it really just depends on how you go about it. Also depends on, you know, what your group's play options are.
Yeah. So are we going Kung Fu The Legend Continues, or are we doing a little Avatar The Last Airbender style? Right?
Yep.
Episodic versus kind of a continuing story arc.
Absolutely. Setting and history are important. What does the world look like?
DMs, how do the monasteries fit into your game world? We mentioned this before, but like seriously, put some thought into this.
What are they tied to politically, religiously, and socially? Those are the questions you need to be asking yourself.
So give me an example of that.
In Jujutsu Kaisen, you've got schools.
They're monster hunters.
Yeah, that's literally what they do. It's their purpose as Jujutsu sorcerers. Now, you could have, on the other end of that spectrum, a group of monks that are trained specifically by the government for assassination, espionage, bodyguard work, whatever. And those are going to have two very different feeling games.
One's going to be punching into a clock, and the other one's going to be punching into a school.
Sure.
Punching is definitely going to be an option for both.
Certainly.
What's the monk's religion or their dogma? Remember, most, like, if we're going in the strictest sense, they have some sort of belief system, which is why it's based off of that.
It doesn't have to be a monastery. And it can be a monastery, but it doesn't have to be. It could be, like we said, a school, a class, a training camp, or even just a guild.
Another thing to consider as a DM is your starting locale. Where are you in the world, and where is the game starting? So a couple of questions to ask to kind of flesh this out is, first off, is the monastery sheltered, right? How close is it to civilization? Is it up on top of a mountaintop? You have to, like, wade through a stream.
10,000 steps.
Yeah, fight an owlbear to get to the top, answer a few, you know, riddles of the Sphinx, or is it inside a city?
Right.
Just hanging out downtown. Anybody can join.
In downtown Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Just a monastery.
The bad part of Baldur's Gate, you know. Downtown Baldur's Gate, where all the crime and the monks there, they fight the crime.
I was going to say, I don't feel like it would be very crime ridden for long.
No, they keep the city streets safe. That'd be kind of fun.
How much do the monks know about the outside world? If they're up on a mountain and they're intentionally sheltered, probably not much. If the monastery is in downtown Baldur's Gate, probably know about as much as anybody else.
Here's a pro tip, DMs. Craft 5 things that people know about the monks. Any 5 things, right? Maybe the particular style of clothing or the type of moves that they do. And I love what you also added to this, Matt. Make 2 of them wrong.
Yeah.
So 5 things, 3 of them are correct, 2 of them wrong, and any of them are legends. So they could all be legends of these particular monks.
I love the idea that, you know, generations ago, you had one really good monk who could literally punch the heart out of people. And because of that, now every monk of this school is capable of it.
The heart-punching monk?
Yeah, you've got like an 8-year-old kid walking down the street, but because he's wearing the right clothes, even the robbers are like,
One of the monks in history past was a dragon rock kobold that could breathe fire.
Sure.
And so all of them now are claimed to have fire breath, and that's a legend that's wrong.
Yeah.
And every time they see a monk with a particular, you know, sash, they're like, I don't know, you don't want to mess with that guy. Kobold or not, he might breathe on you, burn your face off.
One of the best things you can do for a monk campaign is go ahead and grab a bucket full of tropes.
Time to get tropey.
Yeah. And decide which ones you're going to use for this campaign. This style of, like, anime, Kung Fu Gold, there are dozens of things that they use regularly, repetitiously, intentionally to ensure that you get the feeling that they want you to get out of this story.
Yeah, and if you're looking for some ideas, here's a couple. Anime, obviously.
Sure.
High fantasy.
Avatar.
Avatar The Last Airbender. Kung Fu Theater.
Running across treetops.
Yeah, just, with the wushu stuff.
Yeah. Legend of the Five Rings. Right. Very staunch, upright sort of samurai style culture.
Could do some modern stuff like Jackie Chan movies or John Wick.
I love the idea of, even in a D&D campaign, you have a monk that uses a ladder as their monk weapon.
That would be awesome.
Or a mop, right?
Sure. Yeah, use anything.
Now, you could have something like Mortal Kombat, which is a mixture of basically all of the above.
And you can mix and match any of these that you like. So take these tropes, fit them into the overarching theme of your story, whatever that happens to be. A Mortal Kombat revenge story is way different than, say, a exploration traveling anime.
In fairness, like, the traveling anime can touch on the Mortal Kombat land.
Oh, you could do both.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden they just get brutal. Everybody's and rips
a vicious. Yeah.
Somebody's spine gets ripped out. That'd be fun.
Or Sub-Zero shatters somebody.
And then they go back to traveling and having a good time. All of this comes down to, at the end, to communicate these intentions, these themes, and these ideas to your players, because they're doing this with you.
And also, it's very different when you tell your players, I want this D&D venture to feel like One Piece, or you don't tell them, and they're like, this feels like a One Piece ripoff,
mm-hmm.
right? If the expectation is, we're playing a One Piece game versus, I don't like One Piece.
Yeah, talk to them, because they might lean into that, and
right.
it'd be fun. They might, you know, structure their characters around that style and have a, really enjoy that. If you go a little bit harder and grittier, and they're thinking of something kind of outlandish, then it's not going to jive too well.
Right. Like, I could definitely see an astral monk in the world, One Piece world.
Easily. Now, let's talk about players, since we were on the concept of that. What sort of characters do your players want to have?
And what is that character's story? And how do you tie them together, especially when you have such a strong central goal?
We can assume a couple of things from all of the episodes we've talked about before. These are some fairly standard questions that you want to ask when you're creating a character. First off, what are the backgrounds in history? What do the player characters want out of the game, right? Do they just want to beat the crap out of people and punch faces? Do they want to explore the world? Do they want to build on their character? Do they want to do a little bit of all of that?
And if the player wants a face-punching campaign, but they're like, I do want it to have enough plot that my character feels like it's going somewhere, then you just steer that character from face-punching plot point to face-punching plot point. You don't have to separate them. You can do those together.
He leads by his fist from one town to the next.
Sure.
Nothing but knuckle indentations all across the populace.
Sometimes it's got to be that way.
It's got to be that way. What kind of monks are they playing as well? We talked about this briefly, but an Ironhead monk that's a dwarf is way different than, say, a tiefling Way of the Four Elements monk.
That's true. First thing, fix the Way of Four Elements. But well, after you've fixed it, the flavor is going to be very different.
It does kind of suck.
Somewhere, someone has fixed it. They made them 1/3 casters instead of the whole key points for spells garbage nonsense. It's a much better take on it. I suggest looking it up.
Don't send us hate mail. It does suck, though.
It does, and the fix for it is better,
yeah.
Period.
By the way, a Kinku Kinsai monk sounds awesome, if for nothing else, for the alliteration.
A Kinku Kinsai monk that's using a bladed fan as a weapon.
Mmm.
And shaped like a bird tail.
Oh, that is awesome. Follows the Raven Queen.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's free.
That's a freebie, folks. There you go. Keep in mind, they don't have to be monks either. So here's a couple of examples that we think are really awesome. First up, Eldritch Knight that just beats people up and casts spells.
This is very Mortal Kombat Street Fighter style monk.
I was thinking Fairy Tail again, because
or once again, Fairy Tail. It is. It simply is.
Cast some buffs on you and just go to town, right?
Yep. A Hexblade Warlock with a magic weapon. I mean, that fits phenomenally well.
Druids and clerics go for Sacred Fist, right?
Absolutely.
Personally, I would be the Druid monk. Turn into a bear and punch somebody to death, then bite their face off.
Sure.
Lots of fun.
What is the monastery / organization like? The DMs are going to need to let their players know the daily life and what is expected of the characters from the monastery.
Yeah. So are they like lugging water from a river all the way up the hill? Are they doing chores? Are they training half an hour? You know, have a basic idea of what the daily life is.
Yeah, and you don't have to beat the dead horse on this, but let them know every day they're at the monastery, this is the standard schedule, or these are the expectations.
And while you're on that, how is status played in the monastery as well, if there is any?
It could be like a very egalitarian style monastery, or it could be that there's a very strict hierarchy, and those differences are wild.
When you're running this campaign, you also want to throw in some stakes into your game. So stakes and consequences will depend on what particular style you have. Stakes could be certain death, but the stakes could also be fate of the world, right?
It could be something as simple as the loss of the monastery due to financial ruin.
Or loss of face, if you're talking more social aspects.
Sure.
Lots of fun to think about stuff like that. More importantly as well, when we're talking about like the monastery and the customs, how do the taboos from the monastery, if any, affect the player's choices in the game?
If you don't eat meat and you're from a place where that's not unusual or fine, but you go to a place where that is the primary food source, there are going to be some amazing options for storytelling there and role playing and what have you.
Finally, DMs, how will you reward your players in this particular campaign? That could just be XP and fat loot, but remember, monks don't really need a lot of loot. At least the player characters don't.
If you are giving them money,
that's great.
They need to have a reason to be receiving that money, because otherwise they may just be like, eh, I'm good.
If you checked our previous episode on managing character wealth, we have a lot of alternative ways to give rewards to player characters. And I think for a monk campaign, that's a really good idea, because yeah, they've got lots of gold. So what? They might be able to get some magic items, but again, they're monks. They really don't need it. They could beat stuff up with their fists.
Sure.
They get a few things. But here's a couple of examples that we think might work really well in this particular style campaign. First off, prestige. Either real-world prestige or monastery prestige, or just being known as a famous warrior.
Magic is always a great option.
It could be, yeah, maybe location-based magic or some temporary blessings or something like that.
100% makes sense.
You get wisdom. Right? That could be secrets or hidden techniques, maybe even some kind of inner peace, found enlightenment.
Yeah. I love the idea that the government has been like saving these ancient wisdoms as options to dole out to people who they can't buy outright. Right? Like, we really need this dude's help, but we know he doesn't care about the money. Here's the scroll of Lao Tzu.
All right. You really want to learn this ancient technique? We need you to do some work for us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier with the carrot than the stick.
Also, you can just give them feats. Whatever thing they've employed the most of that is out of character for them, give them a commiserate feat in it.
And this could in-game be some sort of, you know, training that they've done. And that's a lot of really fun ways to give them a little bit more power without giving them a whole lot of power.
Understand. Don't give them a blank feat. Give them a specific feat, because giving people too many blank feats can absolutely destroy the power curve of a game.
So there you have it. Several options that you can use to run a successful monk campaign, either with a bunch of monks or with a bunch of characters pretending to be monks. We've given you what's in the campaign and the several options to run it effectively.
And that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on the various socials. Did you enjoy this podcast? We've got a couple more in hand. Subscribe to it on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. And on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. It gets our show in front of more people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm,
which is currently getting into a low power horse stance, screaming and yelling a lot, and is ready to punch you in the face.
It's not good. That can't be good.
It's never good.
Well, it's not good for us.
Not good for anything, getting punched in the face. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples. Show song by the mighty D20. Don't we love that guy?
Sure.
This is a Subterranean production.